Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to An Hour of Mind Power. Today, we are going to be talking about a subject that all of us are absolutely enamored of. What is that? Food. Yes, glorious food. Oh, my goodness, so much has been written about it, published about it. Recipe books are abundant out there. I love it because I just think, one, they're one of the most, they're so beautiful when they're done with all the photography. But the other thing is, food should taste good. Now, how many of you listening are always on some kind of a food program? Or if you're like a friend of mine I was talking with the other day, she says, no fat in the food. I'm going to only do this. And by the time she got through talking about it, I said, I don't think I'd ever be on her diet. No. I love food. I love cooking. And my guest today, who is Mr. Howard Rosenthal. Mr. Food is the title that has been given to him for so many years. He loves food just as much as I do, and he has the joyous opportunity on a regular basis to deal with it. I want to welcome him to the show. Hello, Howard.
Welcome, welcome.
Howard, you really like food, and this is wonderful. Food should be something that's savored and enjoyed. How is it that you found yourself getting into this delicious environment that you are in every single day?
Well, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. You know, we wake up and we talk about food. We go to sleep talking about food, and during the day we eat food. But, you know, we have to do it in moderation because it's easy to get away from us, but we love food with great taste. I, you know, have a degree in restaurant management and a pro chef. And I have been a caterer, an upscale caterer, for many years, and I've been part of the Mr. Food organization for over 20. So my life is really all about food, and I can think of a lot worse things to do.
So can I, and I'll just be happy to be in the continuum as I've enjoyed it for so long. This book I liked, and it's called Hello Taste, Goodbye Guilt. And I've done a lot of interviews regarding food through the years of my show, and so many times they seem to be in one extreme or the other. And this book offered up, I felt, for the individual that wants to be mindful about what they eat and not be upset with the fact that they are denying themselves good food because that's what they're supposed to do. Like a friend of mine that is on such a rigid dietary format that she put herself on. It would take all the joy, as far as I'm concerned, out of life. I've been there, done that, and finally I got wise enough to say that's not necessary. But
right,
like
people
you
who
said,
say, you know, I only eat just so I have the energy to do everything else in life. It's like, are you kidding me? That's the only reason I eat is so I can. That is what I do in life.
Right.
And
absolutely.
Yeah, the Mr. Food brand has been around on TV. We've been nationally syndicated for over 30 years. We've done, you know, lots of cookbooks. Our website, MrFood.com, is, you know, a resource to the person who wants to get dinner on the table every single night of the week and with shortcuts, you know, off-the-shelf ingredients, things that can usually be done in 30 minutes or less and without having a pile of dishes at the end of the day. And for this book, we really said, you know, so many people are either pre-diabetic, 78 million people are pre-diabetic, or people with diabetes, you know, 28 million. That's a lot of people. So how do we address and get them something that they're going to really enjoy? And whether you have diabetes or pre-diabetic or just want to eat a life, you know, healthy lifestyle, this book is perfect for you. But we started doing research, and we looked at so many books that were focused towards this subject. And they were like, grilled salmon, have a salad, eat just, you know, black beans. And I was like, that sounds boring. I'm sorry. It's too predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, you have diabetes or you're focused on a diet like that, you still want the comfort foods of life, you know, whether that be that chicken pot pie or the barbecue chicken, whatever it may be. But there are ways to do it. So we spent a couple years developing the book, so, and we really said every recipe in this book has to really adhere to what the title's all about. Hello Taste, Goodbye Guilt.
Now, I want to start off.
We're really proud of that.
Mm-hmm. You should be, because I'm going to start off with a recipe. And for those of you listening, have a pad of paper and a pen. Of course, you could always buy the book. That would make it a lot easier for you. Hello, Taste, Goodbye, Guilt. But let me give you a recipe that really tickled my taste buds. And I think, I don't know about you, but in the SIBO household, Sunday breakfast is really a big deal. I always have a very, very nice table set. And I just always love to have foods that we typically don't have during the week. But Sunday breakfast always is special. And this recipe of the cannoli stuffed French toast, Howard,
oh my gosh,
grabbed my attention right away. Now, this recipe, for those of you listening, serves two people. Now, this is another point in the book that's very nice. You're not getting recipes for 8 people, 10 people. You're getting a recipe amount that if there's just two of you, and for so many of us, there's just two of us, this is just awesome. So it's a serving for two. What you need is 3 tablespoons of part skim ricotta cheese, 3 tablespoons of fat-free cream cheese. Yes, you can have this. This is good. And 2 teaspoons of mini chocolate chips. That's automatically a winner. Anything that has chocolate in it is a plus for me.
It's a food group. It's a vegetable, so it must be good
yes.
for you.
Oh, absolutely, Howard. Absolutely. You need 1/8 teaspoon of almond extract, 4 teaspoons of Splenda, 4 one-ounce slices of whole grain bread, 1/2 cup of liquid egg substitute, and 1 tablespoon of water. This is how simple this recipe is. Your kids are going to love it. You could double this or triple it if you wanted to, if you were going to have guests. But this is what you do. In a medium bowl, you put your ricotta and your cream cheese together with your chocolate chips, your almond extract, and Splenda. Mix it well. And you spread the mixture on 2 slices of bread, top it with the remaining 2 slices of bread. And then in a shallow dish, you put your liquid egg and water. You mix that. You put your sandwiches in the egg mixture. You turn it to coat both sides so it soaks in. And then you cook it in a skillet that's a nonstick skillet, preferably. Use your cooking spray. And 2 to 3 minutes per side until the bread is golden. And I mean, how simple is that, and how yummy can that be?
And when
I ask you a question. Can you bake this if you wanted to bake it, if you had other items on the top of your stove you were cooking?
You could, or you could even do this ahead. So you could make it, you could grill, you know, you could do it pan skillet it at the, you know, the night before, then just put it on a baking sheet and reheat it. And when that cheesy filling melts, the ricotta and the chocolate chips melt together, and you cut it in half and it sort of oozes out.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be like, this is for who? This is for anybody. Because one of the things we really discovered is, and we interviewed a lot of people, that, you know, let's say there's a family of 4 and little Johnny, you know, has type 2 diabetes. And mom would then have to come and she would make a meal for little Johnny and then something else for the rest of the family.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not practical. I mean, mom's working, dad's working, you got homework, you got soccer practice. I get home. I don't have time to make 2 meals, never mind 1, or 1 versus 2. So now I can make 1 meal on Sunday morning at your beautifully set table, and everybody's going to enjoy it. And no one's going to say, oh, I don't want to eat that because that's for Johnny who has diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
This is good for anybody, and you're not going to even realize that it's good for you because it's so packed with taste.
You have just so many yummy, yummy recipes in here that I was having a devil of a time. How in the world am I going to go through all of this? Because I have to admit, I have a sweet tooth. But let's go forward, because one of the favorite things that I find of most people, they like to munch. They like to crunch. And you have got, side by side in your book, Parmesan pita crisps. And you also have a Greek antipasto dip. And I thought, wow, this is so good. This is absolutely marvelous. And actually, in a way, it could be a meal if someone wanted to have, let's say, you call it a snack, but it really, your Greek antipasto dip has so many good things in it. It has 1 8-ounce package of reduced-fat cream cheese, 3 garlic cloves, finely minced, 1/2 teaspoon of dried oregano, 1/3 cup of chopped, drained, roasted peppers, yum. You can fix those, you know, get them already roasted. 1/4 cup of finely chopped red onion, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1/4 cup of reduced fat feta cheese, 1 1/2 teaspoons of lemon juice, 1 teaspoon of chopped fresh parsley, and 1/4 cup of sliced black olives. And
really the nice thing when you're making this, you're really just layering all of that in a pie plate.
Okay.
And then, you know, you drizzle, you know, the lemon juice and the parsley, and you just make a little dressing. So it's really like dump and, you know, heat and serve. It's that easy.
And it's so easy because the oven, it's 350 degrees, and like you said, you layer it. Cream cheese, garlic, oregano, mix that together. Put it on the bottom of a 9-inch pie plate. Put your peppers, onions, drizzle it with oil, top with a feta. 10, 12 minutes, like you said, the lemon juice over the dip. Sprinkle with parsley and olives. It's beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. And the Parmesan pita crisp. Now, you pay a small fortune for pita crisp in the bags already to go.
Right.
And this you can do at home. How did you decide to come up with this one?
Well, you know, one of the most desired cravings that people have. I mean, people love their sweets. And people love, like you said earlier, the crunch. You know, you want to bite into it. And pita crisps, the way they're naturally made with a pocket in the side, when you just toast them up and just toss them a little olive oil, a little Parmesan, a little oregano and garlic, you can cut these into small wedges and bake these off, and you get something so crunchy and satisfying that you can eat just a few of them, and it's like, wow, I really feel like I have something, versus popcorn where, you know, you can just keep shoveling handfuls in your mouth, and that's endless. And I love popcorn, but you get the salt, you get the Parmesan without having salt, and it just is one of those flavors. And, you know, you serve, like I said, that with the Greek dip, and you could have a nice little cocktail party. You could have that with a salad. That could be an afternoon snack. It's got protein in the cheeses. So it's just nice. And, you know, if you use a whole wheat pita instead of a, you know, a traditional white flour pita as well, all the better.
Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. Now, one of the things, too, that you have with the book, if people are concerned about calorie count, if they're concerned about carbohydrates, exchanges, food choices, all of this is included in the book. It really is very special. But I'll tell you, the photographs, you almost want to eat them because they are just so well done. I mean, the food.
We always tell people, put down your fork, otherwise you're going to damage the page. But we, you know, one of the things on all of our cookbooks over all of the years that we encourage people, you know, we like, and we all remember our parents and our grandparents and our aunts and uncles, those recipe cards that are splattered, tattered, and torn.
Oh,
and we want that for our cookbooks. You know, these are beautiful pictures, and we want you to have a great time, but we want you to use our book. We want you to get it dirty. We want you to actually cook out of it. And, you know, if you get some olive oil on the page, just wipe it off. All the pages are coated so they clean up easily. And that's how you enjoy a cookbook. I mean, it is nice to have a cookbook that you just read, but we really want to be the workhorse of the family. We don't want it on the library bookshelf. We want it on the kitchen right next to the microwave or, you know, whatever it may be. So you do use it on a regular basis.
I have to chuckle when you're saying you want the cookbook to get dirty. I remember a long time ago hearing a story about a woman who became a caretaker for a family. And it was because the mother was ill, something happened. So she had to do the cooking. And she thought, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? Because it was a good-sized family. And she said, what am I going to do? I don't know anything about these people. And she found the woman's cookbook that were placed in the kitchen. Every woman has her cookbook placed where she can get to them easily. And she started going through the cookbooks. And what she noticed were these real dirty pages in these cookbooks. And she said, I bet she's used this recipe. And sure enough, in going through the cookbook, those pages that had the most fingerprints on them, the flour on them, the moisture marks. She said, the family said, oh, how did you know? I just love this food. Oh, everybody likes this. And when the mother got well, she said, how did you manage? My family was so pleased with you. And she said, well, I'll tell you, I went to your cookbook. She said, oh? She said, yeah, on all the pages that had all these marks on them, I realized they were the favorite recipes of the family. And the woman
you don't have to dog-ear the pages. The recipe, the cookbook should talk right back to you and say, you know, choose me, choose me.
Absolutely. Now, I am a soup person. I love soups. And you have a recipe in here for a Tuscan wilted spinach soup.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing.
And the presentation for it is just gorgeous in the book. And all you need is a tablespoon of olive oil, 8 ounces of extra lean ground turkey breast, 6 cups of sodium-reduced chicken broth, 2 cups of water, 3/4 cup of grated Parmesan cheese, 2 eggs, you beat those up, and then 1 6-ounce bag of fresh baby spinach. Now, this can serve 8 people, or in my opinion, it could serve 4 very, very nicely for a main course. And it's so simple, a large soup pot, you heat your oil over medium-high heat, you put your ground turkey breast in, 4 to 6 minutes, get the pink out of it, add your chicken broth, water, bring it to a boil, stir in the cheese, and gradually stir in the beaten eggs, and the eggs will form strands, and then divide the spinach into bowls, ladle hot soup over the spinach, it'll wilt immediately, you serve it right then and there. I mean, how easy can that be?
And, you know, this is so nice because, you know, a lot of times, and I'm a big soup lover myself, and, you know, you'd like everything cooked together, but filling up your bowl with spinach and then taking, like, a cup and pouring it right at the table over that spinach, the raw spinach, and it just wilts right in the bowl, you sort of have that the texture of the spinach in the soup, and it's between, like, I don't know if I want salad or soup. Well, you sort of get both this way, and it's just amazing. I mean, it's you taste that freshness like it was garden-picked.
You even have a skinny soup in here.
Well, you got to have a skinny soup. Everyone's got to, you know, someone's looking to, you know, cut back, so it's got lots of veggies in it. And it's, I mean, this is like probably the prize fighter of the soup chapter if you're trying to have a lot of taste because, you know, as you cook your vegetables together, there's so much flavor in it, and it goes into the broth. And then the fact that there's so little, you know, fat, it's 100 calories per serving. I mean, and it's a meal, and you're going to walk away and you go, oh, my God, I'm full.
I wanted to ask you about stews because you have a Tex-Mex stew in here that just is loaded with all kinds of wonderful flavor. And you use flank steak. Now, in a lot of markets, it's not easy to find flank steak anymore. There was a time when that was considered a very inexpensive cut of meat. If someone's not able to find flank steak, what would you recommend?
I mean, you could use a skirt. You could use, like, a bottom round, per se. And, you know, just slice it thin. Make sure you're cutting it so it's across the grain, so it'll be as tender as can be. But you're cooking it up anyway, so it falls apart. But we like the flank steak. It can be a leaner cut, a little less marbling in that part, but still have, you know, lots of flavor. Mm-hmm. And when you slice it, you get those nice long strips that work well. So instead of getting little tiny pieces like you would in a beef barley soup, a little bit more to bite into and a little bit more like a fajita in your bowl as well.
Now,
the biggest thing we like to do on all of our recipes, it's one recipe to a page. Nutrition right there on the bottom, and just for those of you who, you know, are really concerned about nutritional information, is it correct? I mean, we work with the American Diabetes Association on this book, so they're actually the publisher of this book, so you know, I mean, they're the leading authority on, you know, diabetes and diabetic education in the world, so it's really nice to know that not only do you have great recipes, but you have nutritional information and the support of the American Diabetes Association.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that is very important. Salads, we're coming into the time of the year when salads are the thing. And I'll tell you what, you go out, if you're at a salad bar It's so easy. You think you're getting something that's really healthy for you, and by the time you end up putting all the stuff on it, and then you add the dressing, you can have a few thousand calories for that seemingly, and I don't think I'm exaggerating here, that
seemingly... No, there's more fat in a Caesar salad than there is in a cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So people say, oh, I'm just having a salad today with ranch and blue cheese on it. Well, you might as well have the cheeseburger because you're making a healthier choice over there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting some protein. So, and that's one of the things we try to, you know, help people with as well. In the front of the book, I'm sure you've noticed there's a whole section on, you know, how to read a nutrition label. Because a lot of times, you know, people, oh, they pick up a can, they turn it over, they look at it. They don't know what they're looking at and what numbers are right and wrong, but they're looking and, or portion control. I mean, we all know, like you were saying, you know, how much of this do I eat? Well, you know, obviously any recipe, if you're eating way too much of it, is not healthy for you. But, you know, if I'm choosing broccoli, how much broccoli is the right amount to use? Well, the size of a light bulb. Because no one knows 3 to 4 ounces. What is 3 to 4 ounces? Who knows that? Or how much chicken breast is 3 or 4 ounces, which is the recommended daily or per meal allowance of chicken breast, the size of a deck of cards. So we share all these common sense tips that are like, oh, now I know how big my steak should be, not the size of, you know, the huge platter that is, you know, for as wide as 4 play settings. That's not the right way to go.
I loved the dressing that you had in here because, one, they are deliciously flavorful. Two, they're not high in calories, and you have a secret Japanese restaurant dressing. Now, you say this is secret. Of course, in your book, it's no longer secret, but how did you find out about this dressing? Where was it that this was discovered?
You know, at all of the Japanese steakhouses, or I'll say at least many of them, they have that orangey dressing that they serve on their salad, you know, the Benihana-type restaurants in the country. And what we really did is Patty in our test kitchen, who heads up our test kitchen, had a real passion for that dressing. So she went to several locations, and she would, you know, ask, and they would always say, oh, I can't tell you, or they would give a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And from talking to different people in the kitchens and the wait staff, and often the chef is actually the person cooking the meal and in the kitchen in a Japanese restaurant, she put it together and came up with a profile that tastes just like you're going to get in the Japanese restaurants. So that's how that came together. So the secret is out.
Yes, and let me share the secret with you, because if you're like me, you're one that really enjoys salads, those of you listening, and especially as the temperatures are getting warmer, all of these delicious, wonderful, fresh vegetables are coming out. And it's just exciting to be able to get all kinds of different lettuces to put in a salad. But this gives you something that really is going to make your taste buds happy. This is what you need. And you put everything in the food processor, and you just push the button, let it blend, and you've got it. And, of course, it has to be chilled. You need 1/4 cup of white vinegar, 1/2 cup of peanut oil, 2 tablespoons of ketchup, 1/4 cup of water, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, 2 tablespoons of reduced sodium soy sauce, 2 teaspoons of ground ginger, 1/2 cup of chopped onion, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper, and 2 teaspoons of sugar. Zap it in your blender, and you've got something that is going to be absolutely delicious. It's wonderful.
And, you know, the nice thing with this, you could even serve this dressing, and we've tried it, you know, if you took like a turkey burger and put, you know, your lettuce and tomato on top and put that, what a great flavor it adds. It's just a little different. It's got, you know, that touch of soy, the reduced sodium soy, and the ginger, which to me is definitely one of my favorite flavors, you know, outside of the basic, you know, salt, pepper, garlic, onion. And it just is so fresh tasting. Well, it's really nice. And like I said, with the farmers markets all summer and you're picking stuff up, make a double batch, keep it in your fridge. It's going to last a few weeks, no problem, if you don't eat it before then. and just serve it with everything. We could do everything dressing.
Mm-hmm. And you have some others. You have a silky balsamic dressing, a creamy Dijon dressing. Again, it's flavor. It is something that's delicious. And so many times when you go out, and I know I've been guilty of this, you'll put a dressing on and you'll say, oh, this just doesn't do it. Well, I'll tell you what some of my friends do. They make their dressings at home, and if they know they're going to go out to eat and they're going to have a salad, they actually will have a container. I've known of gals who had a container and put it in their purse and take it with them for lunch.
It makes so much sense because if you don't like the dressing, you're not going to like your entire meal. So now you got a salad and you got this dressing. And, you know, if you're so many times we all know we're trying to eat right. So when we do, we're getting it and we're pouring out a little oil and vinegar. Well, that's fine and dandy, but you need the seasonings. You need something to wake up your taste buds. Otherwise, they're going to fall asleep on you. So you want them to do that happy dance. So bringing your dressing is a brilliant idea. So kudos to your friend.
Yes, it's absolutely fabulous. And then, of course, crab. This is a seafood that so many people like. You've got puffed up crab melt. Oh, I mean, geez, they are so, so good. And then
I think you're going to have to come by here for lunch or something, because I think talking all this food midday here is crazy.
Well, you're back on the East Coast. I'm on the West Coast, so I'm
well, we can meet in the middle for a snack.
Howard Rosenthal, this book is just delightful. And if you know of someone that really has, well, they got a challenge with cooking, those of you that are listening and they say, I don't have much time to do anything, and you want to encourage them to eat healthy, why not put together a night or do something together where you say, let's try one of these recipes out of this cookbook? Because, one, they're very easy to prepare. Like Howard said, so many of us are so busy, it's the last thing we want to do is spend hours in the kitchen, and I can relate to that. But we want good food. So this recipe book, Hello Taste, Goodbye Guilt, is marvelous. Not only do you want to eat the pictures on the page because they are so beautifully done, but you know that it's something that when you are able to share this kind of good food with people, whether they're diabetic or not, you know that you're putting food on the table that, one, is healthy, two, is beautifully presented, but three, it tastes good, and you can enjoy it.
You know, the best thing you can do, the best thing you can do for someone, you know, because we probably have friends that, you know, they have heard that their parents, you know, have recently been diagnosed. A lot of us are caregivers for our parents, or, you know, a friend's child now has, you know, hypoglycemic or pre-diabetic or diabetic. You know, to pick up this book, maybe make one of the dishes and then give them the book with that. It's like, because they're all like, I don't know what I can do for you. Well, what a simple thing to do. The book's under $20. You're helping a friend, and it's going to be life-changing to them. And I can't think of a better way to help, you know, like you said, your parents, your neighbor, whatever it may be, or yourself.
I agree. Check out MrFood.com. Also, EverydayDiabeticRecipes.com. They go together. Both websites are great. But MrFood.com, EverydayDiabeticRecipes.com. Howard Rosenthal, it's been a delight. Thanks so much.
It's my pleasure. And together we'll keep saying, ooh, it's so good.
Oh, yes, it is so good. This is Donna Sebo, and we're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Check it out. Are you hungry yet? This is Donna. We'll be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo directly. You can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hello and welcome. Welcome back. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone number to call into if you would like to chat with me today is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And I know we've got a caller on the line, but caller, please be patient for a moment. I want to let those of you know that are up in the far north of Alaska. I'm going to be traveling up to your magnificent state as of next week. So the 29th of April through May 2nd, I'm going to be in Fairbanks, and then the evening of May 2nd through May 6th, I'm going to be in Anchorage, and I will be available for private appointments. And if you would like to contact me, call me at my office, 253-582-5604. Yes, I do private meetings with people, 253-582-5604. This is Donna. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Welcome. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, my name is Margie, and I'm calling from Puyallup, Washington.
Hi, Margie. Welcome to the show. Is the sun beaming down on you as it is over here in the south side of Tacoma? It is just gorgeous out there today.
Yes, it is. It's beautiful out here.
It is a joy. I am just looking at this, and I just feel like all of this fabulous golden stuff, my goodness, if we could harness it and keep it around a little bit longer, that would be great.
Yep, I love it. We're lucky here.
Oh, it is just spectacular. Okay, down to business with you, dear. The first thing that I'm looking at, Margie, is indecisiveness. You are feeling like a wobbling tight rope walker. That's the description I'm getting in my mind. Now, what I want you to do, hon, I want you to not walk the tightrope. I want you to be able, and if you could just put a visual in your head, see yourself walking a tightrope. You're not that far out on the tightrope, and I want you to back up. I want you to back up so that you're back on a solid base and realize you just need a little bit more time to get your facts together. You are being encouraged by particular individuals to go ahead and just move forward. Well, if you try to walk a tightrope without practicing, it's the rare person that can do that because your mind is going to send you into all different directions and you become paralyzed with fear and you might end up making a mistake. So having the information that you need is very important, whatever this is relating to. You need to get your facts straight. Don't just rely on what other people say. Now, I'll tell you why you're going through this. You are being prepared by these experiences that you've been going through the past 2 years, including today. You've been sort of tested. You are learning how to have faith in yourself, number one. And number two, you are learning how to ask questions. And if someone barks at you or maybe says, oh, this is so stupid, don't you know it? Well, all you have to do is say, no, I don't know. That's why I'm asking the question. If I knew, I wouldn't be here asking you. So you need to realize, one, you're not stupid. Two, if anybody puts you down with that kind of verbiage, you just look at them and say, I'm not bothering with you. I'm going to go check somebody else out. Talk to someone else.
Okay.
You are rebuilding the associations in your life with people that have a much more supportive positioning and want to see you successful. I don't know who these individuals are that are sabotaging you. And I say that with emphasis, sabotage. You're buying into it because you're thinking, oh, gee whiz, they know more than I do. Not necessarily. And sometimes we have people in our lives who really don't want to see us successful. They want to see us dependent. They want to see us wobbling on the tightrope of life. And they're going to promise, I'll take care of you, and then they drop you. So you don't want this. You're learning to develop a strong inner core for yourself, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and even physically. So this is part of your learning process. You're not in a bad space. You are in a learning space. So don't waste your time with people that are not really what you should be associated with. You're changing, and it's hard for them to accept. Don't get angry with them. Don't get upset with them. Just move on. What question do you have for me this morning?
Okay. I think that might sort of tie in. About a situation financially it's just a financial situation I'm trying to get some closure with, and I'm actually not sure if I have all my questions answered about it.
Well, I would say you need to get the facts. You need to work with the numbers. You need to look at the numbers. You need to know exactly what's going on. And then I would talk to various people and ask for their feedback. Say, if you were in my situation, what would you recommend? And you may get stuff all over the place in suggestions. They might tell you to sell your shoes. Other people might say, check with relatives. Somebody else might say, oh, well, just declare bankruptcy or whatever. You don't need to go any of the routes. You'll know what's right for you. But you need to ask the question, and you shouldn't be embarrassed by this at all, because all this is a learning experience.
Well, do you see some financial, possibly, abundance coming my way?
My dear, you always will have abundance around you. What you're locked into is an imagery of lack that has been fed into your psyche. But you,
right,
and without knowing all the particulars, you need to understand.
I read Louise Hay, and I try to keep positive frame of mind.
Well, it's not just keeping positive. It's not just keeping positive,
thank
Marie.
Thank you very much. You've helped me a lot.
Oh, good. Well, you just deal with the facts. Mm-hmm. Deal with the facts, dear, and you're going to be able to work through this. And when you get through it, you're going to realize how much you've grown because of it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Donna. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. And have a beautiful day. Get outside and enjoy this glorious sunshine.
Thank you. You too, Donna. Have a good day.
You too, dear. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, feel free to do so. I'm delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Creating destiny. Well, do you feel like you can? You really can, you know. I feel that everybody comes in with a blueprint. If you've ever been around babies, from the moment of birth, they have personality. They have character. And it's something people say, you got to be kidding. A baby's just a baby. No. From the moment they're born, even when they're in the womb, they display certain aspects of personality. Ask any mother, and she will tell you that, oh, yes, this kid is not patient, or this kid loves music. We know when we're carrying a child. But it's really something to be aware that our minds have a tremendous impact on our lives. And, of course, the actions that follow the thoughts are very important. But Kierkegaard said, we become what we think about. Life is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived frontwards. Now, let me repeat that. We become what we think about. Life is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. And that is the truth of it. You can talk all you want about the past. Hindsight is really, really easy to have. But moving forward, even with the face of fear staring you down, and maybe you take baby steps, maybe you take giant steps, maybe you fly, but you still move forward. Experiences of life are always going to be there. Heavens, it gives us something to talk about, doesn't it? We all have stories of failure, disappointment, heartbreak, loss, loneliness, but we also have the other stories of what we have learned from those experiences if we choose to pay attention to what we've gone through. So live your life forward. That's very important. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about a very interesting subject. At least I think so. And I believe you will too. Karen Berg is going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about her book, To Be Continued. This is about reincarnation. Do you believe you've lived before? Karen does. And we're going to be talking about this very interesting book. And then on Friday, How to Create Sacred Water. Catherine Ravenwood is a woman that really sees water in a perspective and in a way that I think is very, very positive. And she said you can do with water some amazing, amazing things. And we all hear about pollution of waterways. We all hear about how the oceans, animals are suffering because of pollution. We're suffering because of pollution. So we're having to wake up. All of this fits in very, very nicely. So I think that you will enjoy what she has to share. So that's the guest lineup. I wanted to let you know about that. And, of course, my newsletter is going to be coming out in a few days. And I'm going to have a listing of the upcoming guests up on the BBS radio information site within a very short period of time, so you'll know who's going to be coming up in the upcoming weeks. It really is exciting doing this show because I have the good fortune of interacting with people from all walks of life who have their stories, their information, whether it's food, whether it is white river rafting or talking about trauma. There is so much that we can learn from others. And I'm delighted because who has time to do all of this stuff? I may not, but because they take the time to write and put out a book, and believe me, books are not going to go away, because they have the time to do that, it is something that enriches all of us. And if you don't believe me, just walk into your public library one day and free of charge, go into a section of books, an area of knowledge that you have never, ever explored. Pull a book out at random and read it. Open up your world. Open up your life. It's an amazing experience. You know, there's a great race that is put on every year. It's usually staged between June 22nd to June 30th, and it's a controlled speed time endurance rally. And the people that participate drive old vehicles. They're vintage from 1969 or earlier. It is a cavalcade of the past of vehicles, and it is something that people really love. It is a 2,100-mile race. That's right. It is absolutely amazing. And, of course, The Great Race is an old movie that was put out years ago. That was done with Tony Curtis, and I forget who else was in it. Those of you listening may know. But it's just absolutely fun to watch. So why not rent the movie and spend your own moment of joy and happiness and delight with The Great Race? But no, they're still pulling it off today. That's right. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. 888-627-6008.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. I wanted to share a marvelous story with you. I think so many times people get off on their little agendas of attitude. And I have encountered some conversations, more than one, where people will say, oh, the rich, they're terrible people. Oh, the rich this, the rich that, the rich the other. Well, it is relative, isn't it? Because what may be rich in one person's mind isn't in another. Well, I've got a fabulous story to share with you, but we're going to go to this caller first. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi there.
First name or initial, dear, and where are you calling in from?
This is Faith, and I'm calling from Seattle.
Hi, Faith. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Faith,
the first thing that is coming into my mind is that you can be a bit hard-headed at times. You will get a thought in your mind about something that needs to be done. Now, this can work for you, and it can work against you. And I want you to learn how to be a little bit more flexible, because when you are determined, let's say you wanted to become a doctor. I'll use that as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Come hell, high water, the deep blue sea, you're going to become a doctor. So you start out, you do it, and then all of a sudden you become frustrated. And you go, I want to be a doctor. This is what I know I should be. And then maybe you go, I don't know why, but I'm not happy with it. I don't understand it, but I'm going to be that doctor. So you keep pushing. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But maybe the image that you have is not correct. Maybe being a doctor, the DR with the name, is appropriate, but maybe you're going to find yourself getting a doctorate in nutrition, or maybe you're going to find yourself interested in energy healing, or maybe you're going to find yourself wanting to be a researcher. So remember, when you adopt perspective or an idea or a concept, allow yourself a fluidity so that you can explore what really fits you. And for some reason, I feel like you're trying to ram a round peg into a square hole, and it just isn't fitting. So I don't know what's going on in your life, and as determined as you are, and really, I think you're quite disciplined, so I'm not making these remarks to put you down. I am wanting you to be aware of how to use your strengths in a positive way for yourself so that you don't keep butting your head up against a brick wall and feeling so frustrated. You don't need to feel that way. You have got a lot to offer. You are in the process of building a brand new career. And I want you to be open. I want you to allow your intuitive processes to show you the flow to get you to where you really belong. And in the process, you may find yourself experiencing different things, learning different things, and this is all going to add to the potpourri of abundance, of right positioning. You're going to be acquiring a lot of different skills. So don't begrudge what you're going through at this time. I want you to leverage it. I want you to be able to use it. But I want you to also to become a little bit more flexible with yourself. You're very flexible with other people, but you're not so flexible with yourself. I want you to be patient with yourself, and I want you to realize that you're fine-tuning a new career direction, and it's going to take you a while to really figure it out. You're someone that doesn't fit into a box, if you know what I mean. you will design, for all intents and purposes, your own career. What question would you have for me today?
Okay, well, actually, it was about my career because I've basically been at home, working in the home, taking care of my family for the last 14 years. And I'm just now really feeling like I need to be doing something else. I'm definitely lost, you know.
Let me give you a couple of suggestions. May I give you some suggestions?
Okay.
All right. Now, this is very practical stuff. I want you to go to a local college. You can also check this out online. But I'd like you to do a vocational aptitude test. A vocational aptitude test. And see where your strongest interest areas are. This has nothing to do with IQ. It has to do with your particular personality and your strengths of interest. And when you do that, if you'll take the top three or four categories, and they'll do a male version and they'll do a female version, don't be put off by what might be said in a male version. I remember when I did one years ago, they said I'd make a great Army officer, and I had to chuckle because someone just the other day said, Donna, you had to have been a general in a past life. I just laughed when I heard that. Because it brought to mind this vocational aptitude test that I'd taken so many years before. And what they were referring to was organizational ability. So you need to understand that when these strengths are seen, you look at both of them. And then you evaluate what areas of education could I approach that would give me the support for the strength that I have, or strengths in the plural. And I would say a liberal arts education would work very well for you. But you're also going to be looking at a vocational, technological school environment. So give yourself some time.
Okay?
I want you to be patient with yourself because this is a whole new arena. And I think it's fabulous. I think it's fabulous. And the people, your whole family is going to benefit from what you're going through. You're just going to open up to so many things. I think it's awesome.
Oh, great. Wow.
So get excited for yourself. And don't close the door. You know, I was using the example of your maybe perhaps just the example of a doctor. I have a friend that I know, and she's in her 50s. I'll use her as an example. She was at 16 given a scholarship to go to college, but because she was so young that her mother wouldn't allow her to go. And she was very distressed over that. Well, here she is in her 50s wanting to go back to college. She wants to be a forensic pathologist. Now, most people would look at her and say, at your age, why are you bothering? She talked with me. I said, go for it. You're going to be great. So she's starting in the school this year.
Wow. Yeah.
Age has nothing to do with your brain. Nothing to do at all with your brain here. Go for it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And I will definitely look into that. Thanks.
Oh, I'm so pleased. This is Donna Seba. I'm sorry I've got to go, dear. We're out of time. My goodness. It just flies by when we're having such a good time. And I'm so delighted that you were able to join me. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about past lives. What past lives do you remember? Do you remember? Okay, this is Donna. Have a magnificent day wherever you are. God bless. I'll be here tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Seba Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Seba Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.